The parable of the unjust steward, probably better known as the dishonest manager, is one of the toughest parables in the Bible to decipher. It clearly teaches about the use of money and the responsibility attached to having it. But exactly how that point is being made is where the differences lie. It has resulted in many different interpretations, but generally they fall into two different categories. The first option is that the manager was dishonest in illegally reducing the bills of the master's creditors, but he was thinking ahead. Jesus commends the manager for his crafty, forward-looking use of his resources. Now, the second option generally says that the manager may have been dishonest earlier by charging hefty interest, but in reducing the bills, he is simply cutting out his own hefty commission in hope of getting some return later for his sacrifice now. If so, Jesus commends him for his creative use of foresight now that provides for some care later. Now, if I were to choose between the two, I'd have a tough time choosing option one because I don't believe Jesus would commend a person for being dishonest and cheating his master. And secondly, like I mentioned, it would be illegal to change the document recording the original amounts if that was the actual amount owed to the master and not the amount owed plus the commission tacked on by the manager. That's why the second option seemed preferable to the first. If the dishonest manager was simply forfeiting his portion of the commission on the transaction, then Jesus' point was not built on an example of dishonesty, but that we should use our God-given resources to the best of our ability, wisely and generously. After reading Art Just's commentary on this section, from the Concordia Commentary series, I found that there is a better and a more accurate option to explain this parable. Now, if this was purely a secular story, then option two that I mentioned would be sufficient. But this parable and the sayings that follow this are addressed to Jesus' disciples. That makes them prime teaching material about God and secondarily about the disciples' response to God. And if we view this parable from the master's perspective, then the focus on this parable is not on the dishonesty of the manager, but on the mercy of the master. Now, if we look at other masters of households in Luke, they are honorable men, quick to show mercy. The one that we're probably most familiar with is the father of the lost or the prodigal son from the chapter right before this, chapter 15. He is always looking for the return of his son. And when he sees him far off, the father rushes out to greet him, running all the way. He greets his son with a kiss, dresses him in the finest robe, puts a ring on his finger. And despite losing a third of all he has, the father shows him mercy, even throwing a party for the son who has returned home. The son has squandered his father's inheritance, which actually shows a parallel to the manager squandering the master's estate. Now, the purpose of these two parables then is to reveal the father figure's mercy and forgiveness. We often lose sight of the fact that forgiveness and mercy can be rare things, sometimes hard to define, and even harder to do. Forgiveness is something that banks rarely do to your loans. Am I correct? The word now might have gotten a little more traction in our world with the recent loan forgiveness that the government is providing for student loans. Whether you are in favor of that or not, the fact that we're talking about forgiveness might allow us an opportunity to talk about another debt forgiveness policy, which is equally, if not more, scandalous in some places. But let's return to the steward or manager for a moment. Had the steward to say anything in his defense, he would have said it when the master fired him, protested in some way, but he confesses his guilt in the briefest form possible by not saying anything to the master at all. What he does say, he says to himself, "What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." The steward doesn't reflect on how he can get his job back. All his energy is focused on his future. And at the same time, the steward discovers something else about his master that is extremely significant for us. He is fired, but he's not put into jail. Jewish law makes it quite clear that an agent was expected to pay for any loss of goods for which he was responsible. The steward could have been tried and jailed. But rather, the master doesn't even scold him. He is asked for his accounts, and he's simply dismissed. The master, under the circumstances, has been unusually merciful towards him. This servant has just experienced two important characteristics of the master's nature. First, the master is a person who expects obedience, and then he acts in judgment on the disobedient servant. And secondly, he is also a master who shows unusual mercy and generosity even to a dishonest manager. We must not miss these two important facts. So after briefly considering and dismissing two possible lifestyle choices, begging and digging, the manager decides to risk everything on the mercy of the master. If his plan fails, he definitely will go to jail. But if his plan succeeds, they both, the master and the manager, will be heroes to the community. But the manager must act quickly before anyone else knows that he's been fired. So he summons the renters to come quickly, and they do come right away. Word hadn't gotten out yet. He still holds a position of authority as far as the renters are concerned. The renters assume that the reductions are authorized by the owner, otherwise they would never have cooperated. After all, the relationship between the renter and the owner are very crucial during this time period. They wouldn't do anything to jeopardize that. And the manager doesn't do anything to tell them differently, probably suggesting even that he talked the master into it. And that was his idea. He wanted to ingratiate himself into their favor. So he subtracts 500 denarii. Now, if you remember, a denarii was a day's wage. He subtracts 500 denarii worth of product from each one of their bills, a sizable reduction, to say the least. And though that may seem strange to us, Jewish law provides for just this sort of thing in cases of blight or a drought, or if trees die, or if a water spring dries up. However, the renter usually must request this or argue with the owner for such a reduction. But in this case, the renters were offered one, in all appearances, they were offered this spontaneously. The manager then delivers the accounts to his master, who obviously would notice the difference in the bills. The master looks at them, and then he ponders what his alternatives might be. The master knows full well that down in the village, there has already started a great round of celebration and parties that all are in praise of him, the master, the most noble and the most generous man that has ever rented land in their area. So now he has two alternatives. He can go back to the debtors and explain that this was all some huge mistake, that his dishonest manager has been dismissed, and that his actions are null and void. But if the master does this now, the villagers' joy and their dancing and their partying will turn to anger, and maybe worse, he will be cursed for being stingy. Or secondly, he can keep silent. He can accept their praise and their adoration that is now being showered on him and allow the clever steward to go free. After all, the master is a generous, noble, merciful man. He did not jail the steward earlier. So we can imagine that he is taking a moment reflecting on this. And then he turns to the steward and says, "You really are a smart man. Go, you have your freedom." And in an underhanded sort of way, the actions of the steward are a compliment to the master. The steward knew that the master was generous and merciful, and he risked everything on this characteristic of the master's nature. And he won. Because the master was indeed generous and merciful, he chose to pay the full price for his steward's freedom. And if we look at this parable through the eyes of the master, then this parable is about God's judgment and his mercy. And because humanity is evil, there is the coming crisis of Judgment Day. There is nothing mankind can do to work his way or to earn his way to salvation. Man's only option is to entrust everything to the unfailing mercy of a generous master who, and he can be confident, will accept to pay the price for man's salvation. Sons of light, believers, will be wise to place their total trust in the mercy of God experienced at the beginning of their story, when God made us his own through the waters of baptism. That trust will be vindicated on Judgment Day. This perplexing parable then becomes a beautiful story of God's love and God's mercy shown to a sinful humanity that placed their trust in him. And so we have the parable of the dishonest manager, a tough parable for sure, but one where it's important to remember that the steward is praised for his wisdom in knowing where his salvation lay, not for his dishonesty. And when properly viewed through the eyes of the master, it shows us a loving God who is merciful, who is generous, who is willing to pay the price for man's salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen.